Welcome to Basic Gospel. We are here daily at this time to bring the basic gospel into your life. It's relevant, personal, and essential. Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis. Our purpose each day is to provide scriptural answers to your personal issues and Bible questions. This is where the basic gospel intersects with your daily life. Hear it, believe it, live it. So now it's time for you to call 1-800-677-9377. That's a toll-free call in the U.S. and in Canada. 1-800-677-9377. Call now. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Those were words from Peter the Apostle to a group of believers at that time that were suffering mightily. Folks that had all kinds of anxieties, all kinds of cares, all kinds of worries. And he pointed them to Jesus Christ, and he encouraged them to entrust themselves to the Lord, knowing that the Lord would take care of them, the Lord would protect them, the Lord would guard their hearts and minds and give them peace in the midst of what they were enduring. You may be going through all kinds of trials and tribulations, and you may have all types of worries and cares. And we want to help you today entrust yourself to the living Christ. And if that's your situation, call us. We would love to point you to him, point you into the Word of God to help give you a measure of hope and encouragement in your particular situation. That's what this ministry is all about. That's what the Word of God is all about. That's why we need each other as brothers and sisters in Christ, because we all need a word of encouragement, and we hope to give a word of encouragement to somebody today. The number to call, 1-800-677-9377. 1-800-677-9377. We would love to hear from you. Richard Piper is here. My name is Bob Christopher. We look forward to having a great time of encouragement in the Word of God today.
Yes.
Well, let's go to our phone lines, and let's start in Staten Island, New York, and talk with Linda, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Linda.
Hello. How are you? I'm very grateful to listen to your program. It's very, you're very unselfish and kind. You don't find too many of these people, you know?
Well, thank you for saying that, Linda. You know, I appreciate that.
I mean, all the pastors are wonderful and fine, because everything they say are wonderful and intelligent and true, which is so needed. Because, you know, if you go to a congregation, you go like on Sunday or once during the week, and the other hours that you have to spend and fill in, you know, it's very idle. They're idle in a sense, you know, spiritual idleness, you know. And it's very difficult if, you know, if you're in that plane of spirituality, you know. You know, I mean, I find it very hard to listen, to be stay with the world, you know. I mean, you have to, because you have no choice, right?
Right, right.
I mean, I would wish there was some day that we could all be together and be united. I mean, that's what makes it very depressing, you know, like, you know, that we're not in it exactly, you know. And what I was going to say about the Jewish people, like you were talking about legalism, you know, they're very nice people. I mean, I'm not against them, and I would treat them right because they're human, you know. But they don't like you, like if you committed a sin, God forbid. Hello?
Yes, we're listening,
you know,
Linda.
If you committed a sin, God forbid, because, you know, a Christian has to live with their sin too, even though they didn't do it intentionally or they did intentionally, whatever. They still, you know, have a conscience, you know, and they make you feel that you're a sinner, you know. You know, they go by the
right,
Old
Linda.
Testament.
Yeah, certainly.
They really go by the Old Testament, and they reject you. Like someone told me not to go in the store because, you know, they probably knew about me or they surmised something. And, you know, that's very nasty to do. But there were certain sections like on King's Highway.
Well, Linda, you know, I think the point you're making, which is a good
Brooklyn neighborhood,
is a good and valid one, Linda, is the fact that any time that you're controlled by law, you know, that's your way of life. You want to live up to certain laws.
I know that. I mean,
well, listen to me, Linda, just for a second, because you're making a very, very valid point. that we can't live up to those laws, even though we try. And so we feel condemned, and then we get judgmental. We start pointing the finger at others. So if you know, I'm going to be judged by it, I want you to be judged by it too. And that's why we need to give way to that and put ourselves into the hands of Jesus Christ and experience his grace. And that removes the judgmental attitudes. We know that we were saved by grace and that we needed God's mercy, and we received it in Christ. And so that's a wonderful, wonderful truth, and it helps us stop pointing the finger of judgment at others. And, you know, that only happens when we come to know Christ Jesus and his love and grace. So,
well, I don't know who maneuvers that, or if it's the devil or it's your conscience. Like, because when you
a little bit of both.
It's a bit of both, because when you do live legally, it is better, you know. You know what I mean? But if something went wrong, what could you do, you know? All right, thank you so much.
Well, thanks for your
call. Thank you.
Thanks for your call, Linda.
Thank you very much. God bless you.
God bless you as well. 1-800-677-9377 is the number. Go ahead and call to be a part of today's Basic Gospel broadcast. 1-800-677-9377. Well, let's go to El Paso and talk to Maria, listening to us on KELP. Hi, Maria.
Hi, Captain Stu. I had a question. I divorced my husband when my husband was in prison, but it wasn't under biblical terms. I just divorced him because I was just tired of it. And then God convicted my heart. I felt the Holy Spirit that it was wrong. So we reconciliated. I asked him to forgive me, and we're back together. He's getting out of prison, and he never signed out the divorce. The one who signed it was a warden. What I wanted to know was, now that he's getting out, do we have to get married again before we get together?
You mean get together in a sexual way?
Uh-huh, to get together again.
Well, Maria, I mean, you're free to do what you want to do. But you have to say, well, what's the wisest thing? What's the best thing? And I think in your situation, Maria, it would probably be the wisest thing to go ahead and get married, to make, if you want to be reconciled to him, he wants to be reconciled to you. You know, why not make that known? Why muddy those waters, by getting together sexually, and then not being able to really look at the relationship objectively? You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh. Yes. Okay. Thank you. That's all. And I just wanted to thank you for your program.
You're welcome.
It's really helped me to live real free and happy, and it's different. It's just different than what I was living before by do's and don'ts and oh, my gosh.
All those religious regulations.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Now it's like I'm free, and it's beautiful to live like that. That's why I wanted to know this, so I could live okay. Thank you. God bless you.
Okay, Maria. Let me do this for you. Let me put you on hold. We'll send you a copy of this book, The Hurt and the Healer, okay?
Okay, thank you.
You are welcome. You hang on. You know, Richard, that's a very interesting situation. I mean, she was married. Now they're divorced. You know, they want to get remarried again. You know, you think, oh, well, you know, what's getting together sexually before we get remarried gonna hurt? We've already been in that relationship before, but it just puts the relationship in a different light at that point.
Yeah, and you could tell by the way she described the situation is that their marriage before is completely different than what they're looking at now, because they've been reconciled to each other instead of just doing whatever. They have a chance now, because of what they've been through, to have a proper kind of marriage, a Christ-centered marriage, and that'd be a wonderful thing.
Right. It's that decision to say, I want our relationship to rest on the foundation of God's love and grace. And if you choose to get together sexually before the marriage actually happens, then you're saying we're going to put it on this foundation over here.
Yes.
And that's going to be a foundation of sand. It's not going to support you for very long. That's why you want to make sure you have a chance to redo this, which is fantastic. Why not build it upon the love and grace of Jesus Christ? Why not allow that to be the foundation that this marriage is resting upon from this point forward? And that's going to make the other even that more wonderful.
Yes, yes.
Well, let's go to Jim in Winters, California, listening to us on KCBC. Hi, Jim. Jim, you're on the air.
Did you mean Jim?
Yes. How can we help you today?
Yeah, been reading a lot lately about being double-minded, and I kind of think I fit in that category. I was wondering, what do I do to not be that way?
Good question. You get and the way to stop being double-minded is become single-minded. And, you know, here's what I mean. You know, there's many people that will say, you know, Jesus Christ has forgiven me of all my sins. And then they'll turn around when they sin and say, I need to confess that, repent of it, and ask God for more forgiveness. Well, that's being double-minded. You're either forgiven or you're not forgiven. And so to take the double-minded aspect out of it, you have to come and say, I'm going to rest in the fact that Jesus Christ has taken away my sins once and for all. I'm going to thank him from this day forward for the forgiveness that I already have as a result of receiving him as my Lord and my Savior. Sometimes, go ahead.
Well, I'm struggling with
it. Well, I think we're losing
losing the connection. Or
losing the cell connection there. Let me put you on hold, and we'll see if we can get back to you in just a minute or so. But that's a great question.
Yeah, it is.
And double-mindedness is alive and well in the Church of Jesus Christ mm-hmm. today on many different levels. I think on the forgiveness level, I think that's where it's most prevalent. We see people who are saying, hey, Jesus died for my sins, yet I still have to do this to get forgiveness. It can't be both.
Yes.
Either Jesus died, and as a result, you're forgiven, or you're going to try to get forgiveness through your own means, through your own sacrifices, through your own works. You can't blend those two together. It's one or the other. So take the double-mindedness out of it. Choose one way or the other. Maybe you don't believe the sacrifice of Jesus was sufficient. Well, go about seeking forgiveness on your own. Try to do it your way and see if that truly satisfies, if you come to the point and realize that your debt's been paid in full. You never will, but at least you're not trying to blend the two. There's other areas where we become double-minded. We say that Jesus is sufficient for us in all things, yet we will seek solutions from the world. We will open ourselves up to worldly philosophies, worldly thinking, and we'll try to blend those together. And instead of truth setting us free, we just become more and more confused. So how do you take the double-mindedness out of that? I think you have to come to a point and say, Lord, I'm going to trust you and you alone to renew my mind. I'm going to trust you to bring peace to this heart of mine. I'm not going to seek worldly solutions. I've done that. I've been there. I've found them to be empty and lacking. And I don't want to do that again. I want you and you alone. We see it in marriage. You know, people will get together and, you know, life is really wonderful at the beginning. And then as every relationship proves to be, it's hard. It's difficult. You need to get on the same page. And when those difficulties come, you start thinking, wow, it sure was fun when I was a single guy. And you got 1 foot in marriage and 1 foot in singleness, and that just doesn't work on either accounts. So take that double-mindedness out of the picture. Recognize you're married and live that way. So that's important for us, isn't it?
Oh, it is. And it strikes me, you know, for the 143,000th time, when the writer to the Hebrews said, fix your eyes on Jesus, he wasn't kidding. The only way to avoid this double-mindedness in every aspect of life is to say, Jesus is the answer, even if I don't understand it yet, Jesus is still the answer. I've got to keep my eyes fixed on him, listen to his words, let his spirit reveal this stuff to us. Otherwise, we're stuck listening to ourselves, and that's a pretty losing proposition.
Right. We lean on our own understanding. We fail to acknowledge him in all of our ways, and boy, our paths are just as crooked as they can be. Well, 1-800-677-9377 is the number. Call and be a part of today's broadcast. We would love to hear from you right now. Again, the number, 1-800-677-9377.
Had an interesting little question here. It's basically just a data question. The book of Jasher is mentioned in the Bible. What is it and where is it? And in some of the breaks we've had, I took the chance to look that up. It's actually mentioned twice in the Bible, one in Joshua 10 and the other in 2 Samuel 1. And in the context of those two passages, it's obvious that the book of Jasher was a well-known history book of some kind during that time, because the statement is always done, hasn't this been written in the book of Jasher? Well, we don't have a copy of the book of Jasher anymore, and the reason we don't is because whatever else it was, the rabbis, the whole rabbinical school, the authorities on the Hebrew scriptures chose not to put that as part of the Hebrew scriptures. That didn't invalidate it as a book of history, but it didn't meet the criteria for the kind of impact, the kind of revelation of God and the coming Messiah that what we know of as the Old Testament scriptures meant. And so they chose to leave it out. It was mentioned. Obviously, people in that day knew who wrote this book, or at least knew of the book, but they chose not to put it in, and that's all we can say about it. We have to take it that that's what they intended.
Yes.
So it's just one of those interesting little tidbits of the history of the Bible.
Absolutely. And, yeah, those things are fascinating. Yeah. We always try to put into something that's not there.
Yeah.
It's just a reference. Yeah. Yeah. Well, somebody tried to keep that out of the canon. Well, no, that's not the case at all. What we have is
chose not to put it there.
Yeah. What we have is authoritative. It is the story of Jesus Christ in its fullness, and we can count on it. We can rely upon it and trust it for our daily life and for what faith is all about. So, well, we are waiting for calls to come in, 1-800-677-9377. Let's go to Laredo, Texas, and talk to Alex, listening to us on KCTA. Hi, Alex. Well, Alex hung up. Seems like he had a question, or she had a question about depression.
Yeah.
And that's certainly one of those painful things that we go through. There's extreme levels of depression, and then there's minor levels of depression. I think those that experience extreme are a small percentage. I think for the most of us, we go through just depressing times. And most of those depressing times come to us as a result of some event that happened in our life, some trigger. And we've reacted negatively, and we continue to think negatively about that particular event, and we become fearful, and we become angry, and we dip down into self-pity, and out of that self-pity comes depression. And that's how we get there. What's the solution to that? Well, there's all kinds of medications that are being used today to help, but ultimately it's a change of thinking. It's gaining God's perspective on life. And when we gain God's perspective on life, then we can experience some freedom, and that depression will start going away. And I think it's vitally important, and that's one of the reasons we're offering this particular resource, The Hurt and the Healer, because it has several sections on here in this book that talk about our thinking and how we get into the emotional messes that we get ourselves into. Starts right there between the ears.
Yep.
We react to some circumstance in life in a negative way. We reinforce that negative thinking to the point that we drift down into depression. But there's a way out, and it starts right there between the ears as well. And that's why the Bible keeps talking about the renewing of the mind. That's what God's Spirit does. When we trust Him, He begins to renew our mind, to change the way we think. not only think about ourselves, but think about God and think about life in general.
Yes.
And when we learn to think as God thinks, that's when we can experience freedom. But this is available for any gift to Basic Gospel this month, The Hurt and the Healer. Just go online to basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net for your copy. Let's go to Indianapolis and talk to Mark, listening to us on WBRI. Hi, Mark.
Hi.
Welcome.
How you doing? Okay. I just want to make, you know, I know you guys don't have a lot of time. It's on the John 1, chapter 5, verse 16. Talks about, I ain't going to read the whole verse, but it says, there's a sin unto death, and I do not say that he shall pray for it. Could you kind of explain that a little bit?
Well, I think, Mark, that's ultimately the rejection of Christ. And it's not just a passive rejection. I think it's an aggressive, it's an active rejection of Christ Jesus. Somebody that is just making a total mockery of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and doing so in such a way that he's trying to draw others into that same trap, so to speak. And that's a very dangerous place to be. And I think that's what he is talking about there.
Okay. Yeah. Because, you know, I didn't know what it meant. Like, I just do not say that he shall pray for it, you know.
Yeah, definitely don't want to pray that somebody, you know, experiences that. But I think, you know, all sin leads to death. I mean, these bodies are going to die, but there's that ultimate rejection of Christ. That is really where the rubber meets the road as far as God's judgment is concerned. When the lost stand before God, you know, they're gonna see their sins for what they are, but they're also going to see the root cause of it. And the root cause is unbelief in Jesus Christ. And they're going to say, it was only a matter of me believing in you. That's right. Well, I didn't want to. And that's going to be the content of their judgment, the fact that they rejected Jesus Christ. So that's ultimately the sin unto death.
Yeah. Well, I definitely believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. So
you haven't committed that. You haven't rejected him, so that's good news. And now it's impossible for you to do that. Once you're a believer, you're always a believer. You've turned from unbelief to belief in Christ. You've gone from death to life. You've gone from darkness to light. You've gone from being a sinner to being a child of God, with the guarantee that God is going to protect you for all eternity. You're his forever. You are in his hands. His hands are in the Father's hands, and no one can snatch you out. That's good news, isn't it, Mark?
Yes, that's great.
Well, rest in that and thank the Lord every day for the salvation that you have in him. His grace truly is amazing.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Well, Mark, thanks for your call. Let me put you on hold. We'll send you a copy of this book, The Hurt and the Healer. You hang on, okay?
Okay.
Well, Richard, this time just flew by today.
Yeah.
Sorry to those who are left hanging on the line, Ken and Joe and James. We invite you to call back on tomorrow's broadcast. We would love to answer your questions there. Or if you would like to hold on, we can pick you up after the program and somebody can speak to you further. But we certainly appreciate all those who tune in each and every day to the Basic Gospel program. And for allowing us to come into your lives and to share, I think, the greatest news that's ever been known to man.
Yeah,
the fact that God,
what a privilege.
Yes, indeed. The fact that God loves us, that he cares for us, that he's interested in us, and that he provides life to us through his resurrection. That's just the greatest news ever. And we invite our listeners to come alongside of what God is doing through this outreach by making a gift to Basic Gospel. We are looking for folks to make one-time gifts or to join us as a partner in this ministry and contribute every month to this particular outreach. All the information on how to do that is available at basicgospel.net or by calling 1-800-727-2828, 1-800-727-2828. And our special gift of thanks to you this month is a wonderful resource, The Hurt and the Healer. We would love to get this into your hands. Well, thank you for joining us on today's edition of Basic Gospel. We look forward to meeting you again at the same time tomorrow.